October 10th, Jesus says, one of the most pernicious forms of imprudence, and perhaps the most common one among men, is to promise without reflecting. How many sworn promises men make, at first thoughtlessly, and then they are irresponsibly not kept by men. And how much evil comes to the world as a result. Holy vows which are not observed through creatures' refusal of that vocation followed, when it first presented itself to their minds, and the sentimentalism of the heart was mistaken for God's call. Marriage unions turned into sacrilegious disunions, because in the face of the reality of life together the weaker and less thoughtful of the two comes to be forsworn. Disappointments caused friends who believed near promises. And, what is most serious, world disturbances caused by the acts of imprudence by thoughtless leaders who, as the arbiters of their peoples, in their name promise alliances which later heavily tax their people and the others in blood, either because they force those governed to combat for the ally or because, with self-perjuring boldness, they break the previously concluded alliance impossible to maintain, and become enemies. How can man, endowed with a superior intelligence, a direct gift of God, act with such bestial thoughtlessness? Because the strength of the Spirit has been wounded or extinguished in him by the sin which takes away grace. Look, Maria, let us together observe the episode involving Herod, who had my cousin and forerunner beheaded. And let us view it by way of my manner of seeing, so different from that of men. From the pulpits of my churches much is said about this episode. But, as thoughtless as Herod himself, the commentators stop at the not licit, and do not draw from the episode the other teaching, so useful for souls. Mark 6:21-27 says that Herod was the laughingstock of his own thoughtlessness. Moved by sensual gratification, he had sworn to the young girl that he would give her everything she requested. And the evangelist says that, when he learned what was being requested of him, he was saddened by it, for at heart Herod respected my cousin, whose heroic sanctity and supernatural intelligence he had recognized, and to whom he turned to be enlightened. But a promise made must be kept, especially if it is the promise of a king, made before the whole court, and the head of the holiest among men because it was sanctified before his birth by the embrace of the woman bearing God, my most holy mother, filled with the Holy Spirit, fell because of the foolish oath of a king. Why was Herod able to do this? Because grace was no longer in him. Satan held him on account of sin. And when Satan holds a man, that man is blind, and deaf to the lights and the voices of the Spirit of God, who is the inspirer of men's actions, and counsels only actions of justice and holiness. Do you see the need? I say need, to live in grace? O men who busy yourselves to acquire, and keep the wealth which perishes, how is it, that you do not labor, to keep this immense supernatural wealth of grace in yourselves? The grace which keeps you in contact with God, and nourishes you with his lights, like the as yet unborn child in the mother's womb by way of the fibers joining him to her. And you are indeed the children waiting, to be born to the life of heaven. This is not life, this one which you live on earth during the mortal day. This is only the formation of your future, being as one living eternally. Human existence is the gestation which shapes you to give you to the light, to the true light, and not to the poor, murky light of this earth. I bear you in me like a mother forming her child. I surround you, and shelter you with myself. I nourish you with my food, to have you be born immortal in the hour of what you call death, and it is nothing but a passage. A passage from an incomplete phase to completeness, from imprisonment in limited space to boundless freedom, from darkness to light, from obstructed caresses to the absolute embrace of the soul with its parent. This is what you call dying. You that, with your proud knowledge, still are not able to give the right name to things, and like children a few years old you call things by mistaken names. I want to teach you what death is, and who the dead are. Death is to be separated from God, like an unborn child, that before the proper time, is separated from the maternal organ, and putrefies in the elvis, which expels him painfully. The dead are those who, because they are expelled in this way, do not differ from the remains of an animal disintegrating in the sun, and rain along an earthly cart road, causing repugnance in those seeing them. This is what it is to be dead. Sin is the cause which separates you from God, and makes you decaying, corrupted flesh, food for Satan, who has poisoned you to devour you, a prey to his hunger as a devourer of souls and an enemy of God, the creator of souls. How could, and how can, the Spirit of light and charity be a guide to Herod, and to the many Herods who are always on earth, when their sin makes them separated from God? In truth I tell you, that the basis for all the errors committed on earth is sin, which separates man from grace. Live in grace, if you don't want to err. Then, like babies sustained by the mother's velum, you walk amid the earthly events, and don't fall into the traps of the world, and of the master of the world, who has denied the holy and true master, who is God. Then, like still unborn babies who are shaped, and grow in the maternal womb, you reach complete development, to be born to the life of the heavens. Then I, thrice holy blood, circulate anew, and nourish you with myself to the point that my father and yours, clasping me to his breast, no longer distinguishes your being as children of Adam, and calls you sons and daughters. Sons and daughters like me, his word, for the blood of the word is in you, and, in embracing you, the Holy Father embraces his own Son, made man to give you life. Then the Eternal Spirit hails you, on entering into life, with his flashes of light, for he recognizes in you a part of himself which is returning to the divine source from which it came forth. Oh, holy and happy day of your birth to heaven! Oh, the triune God longs for that day to come for you! Oh, the blessedness which I have prepared for men! Rise up, O my beloved! The life of the earth is the time I give you to grow towards true life, and, no matter how long and painful it is a fleeting instant compared to my eternity. The eternity which I promise, and which I keep reserved for you. The joy which I have conquered with my pain. Live in me and by me, children whom I love. The joy which awaits you is as measureless as the glory of God. The same day Jesus says, if to fear the Lord is wisdom, and to flee from evil is intelligence, what can loving the Lord with all the powers of being be? It must be the perfection of wisdom and intelligence, for love is what refines the powers of the Spirit to such elevation, that it consequently leads to perfection in every held. Those who love, have known true wisdom in a measure which cannot be increased, because it is perfect. Love instructs them to understand and leads them to obey. Love preserves them from evil. Love makes them fly along the way of goodness. Love, the holy love which God has wanted as his main attribute. God is love, is the science of sciences, because it makes you masters in the science which gives life. The science of knowing God. Those who love possess true intelligence. God does not divide himself from those who love him. Now, if God is in you, you possess intelligence itself in yourselves, and it communicates its lights to just as a flame enclosed in a crystal shines through and warms you, the outside. And God is a flame living in you when you love him. Your human nature is deified by contact. Man, an animal endowed with reason, falls like a butterfly's chrysalis, and is succeeded by the true Superman, who is not as the world thinks. A poor proud being full of errors and haughtiness, but a being who, not yet an angel, and no longer a man, shares with man the struggles which yield merit, and with spirits freedom over the senses, luminosity, and far-sightedness, by which truth is unveiled and God appears, as Father and Lord, in his superessential beauty. Blessed are those who love God. Seven times blessed, because their love is the compendium of all the mystical hungers and thirsts, of all the virtues, of all things, and it obtains for them the reward promised to those named in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they because, beginning on earth, they see and enjoy God, a foretaste of the enrapturing, eternal vision, which will be their future life, and awaits them in heaven.